All right, we are live with another episode of Fire Builders Live. Welcome, guys. This is a special 9 a.m. edition. There's a very good reason for that. I am joined with Patricia Lohan. Patricia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here, Josh.
I am too. I'm so excited that you're here. I mean, you're coming to us from Bali, and that is just amazing. You say that there's like all kinds of storms and stuff happening right now. Yeah. So yeah. I'm glad you were able to hop on.
It's been stinking hot. Honestly, I said to my husband and I were talking earlier, we're like, it's so hot. Like, we really would love it. It just needs to rain. And it literally, like 5 minutes later, the sky's open. There's thunder. There's like floods outside our door. Like, it just, like, when it rains here, it really rains. So it's gone a little bit crazy outside. And our connection has been a bit weird, but it's all good. Hopefully we'll be all good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can hear you perfectly, and I'm sure people at home can hear that as well. And thanks for hopping on. We're actually about to get that in Key West too. It's supposed to be like crazy storms within the next couple of days. I have no idea what I'm going to do with this show, by the way. So hopefully we can still broadcast from the porch. And so if you're not familiar with how Fire Builders Live works, we bring experts on and break down really complex big things into small tasks, things that you can do every day to get better. And we stream live at noon, Monday through Saturday. But today's special because it's Bali edition and we're talking Feng Shui. And this is something that I'm really interested in because I'm an engineer and, you know, this is a kind of a foreign concept to me. I'm used to things that you can grab and touch and feel and, you know, stuff like that. And Feng Shui is all about energy and like, is it qi? That's how it's pronounced, right?
Yeah. Qi. Or in yogic terms, they call it prana, or they, you know, so it's like energy, qi, prana, whatever, all the different kind of philosophies have a different way of kind of describing it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, you are the perfect person to talk to about this. You're a feng shui expert. You know, if you're actually not familiar with what this is, it attempts to harmonize individuals with their surrounding environment. You know, it's something that dates back to like around 4,000 BC in mainland China. And it's an incredible practice. And today we're going to be talking about ways that you can adjust where you live, you know, the things that your environment, to try and tap into that flow mm-hmm. state, so to speak. Yeah. So Patricia,
yes.
This is exciting. So tell me a little bit about how you got started with this and what you do now for people.
Okay, perfect. So how I got started, this goes back a very long time. I got my first books about feng shui when I was 15. And I think it has something to do with the fact that we moved house 22 times. My parents really loved moving house and they would be in one house, would have redecorated. They're like, this is it. We're done here now. And then all of a sudden they'd like discover, oh, we need more parking. Oh, we want to be closer to the sea. Oh, we want this. And it was just like they never felt like grounded or satisfied. And I loved the process of being in a house and helping, like moving in and decorating and finding everything. So it must have been through that place that I discovered feng shui, because my parents are not into like esoteric stuff or anything that's any kind of a bit far out stuff at all. Like, they're just like normal people. And I just really, I found it. I read the books and I was like, really hooked on it. And I'm like, oh my God, it can help with money and it can help with this. And, you know, I just got so into it as like a teenager. And I have since had conversations with people where they say that like oftentimes like our soul's purpose, that we know that when we're really young and we just forget about it and we don't really tap back into it until we fully have to experience everything in our life to bring us back to it. And that's really what happened to me, is that I went back down a very traditional route, actually. You know, my parents were entrepreneurs and I really wanted to work in a 9-to-5 job in an office. I grew up with parents who were like really like creative. They had like really successful businesses. But that also comes with the territory of like being ungrounded and being able to like move and flexibility and lots, all of that. And I wanted like stability and normalness. And like, I just thought a 9-to-5 job would be perfect. And so I studied like traditional business. I worked for corporate. And then my dad decided to come out of retirement and develop a new business. And I just on a whim was like, I'll come help you. So at 24, I actually had 30 employees. I was like the boss of this huge business, and I ran it for 7 years until I literally like completely burnt out. And at that stage, Josh, you just mentioned India. And at that stage, my mom actually turned at me one day in the business and she was just like, I think you've got to go. Like, I used to go to work every day in like black. I would be like, I was just like, you know, I just really didn't know what I was meant to do in life, because I was just like given my soul to this business and really fulfilling my father's dream and not mine. So she's like, yeah, I said, yeah. And she goes, I think you should go. You need to leave. And I was like, I'm going to go to India to become a yoga teacher. And they were all like, my whole life, like all my family were like, what? Like, you do what? You're going to India. So just putting this into perspective for people, me going to India like was so far out, because I only used to go to one yoga class a week. This is not like I was this like avid yogi or anything. I just like went to India. So I quit everything and went to India. And with that, it came a huge spiritual awakening and a journey into really finding myself again. And interestingly enough, when I came back to Ireland, a year and a half later, and everyone's like, what are you going to do? And I trained in lots of different holistic therapies and really had a kind of a Mary Poppins bag of different things. I did sound healing, Reiki, kinesiology, like crystals. Like I became this kind of channel, so I could like read oracle cards for people. And they're like, how did you know that about me? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just like these cards are just telling me what to say. So it became like really like this whole new me when I came back. And interestingly enough, one of my childhood friends' parents, met them one day and they're like, oh my God, Patricia, you're back. You're back. And they would have known like the 15, 16 year old version of me. And they were just like so happy. And I was like, oh my God, this
came
person,
full circle.
It came full circle back to me. And at that time, I then set up a practice. I moved to a new city. I set up a practice doing holistic work and helping people from the inside out. And that was such a powerful work, like really helping them release trauma, anxiety, like get them clear on what they wanted and, you know, help them shift from stuck, because I had gone from like a stuck, dark place into kind of the light and was like, you know, high on life. And really helping them. But what kind of was happening during that process was so fascinating, because two things went on. Number one, I decided that I wanted to call in my soulmate. I wanted to call in the person that I wanted to be with for the rest of my life. And I also was working with my clients, and I would be working with them intuitively and being like, tell me about your bedroom. What's going on in your house? And they would be like going, what is she talking about? Like, what is this to do with like what happened to me when I was 7 and I was bullied? Like, oh, you know, and it was just kind of crazy, because I would start like sending them home with homework to work on their homes. So, you know, this whole idea, like when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And I came kind of back in alignment with feng shui and working with my clients, getting them to do stuff. I decided I'm going to feng shui my apartment for love. So I moved into a new apartment and I turned around to my new flatmate and I said to her, I'm not leaving here until I am moving in with the guy that I am moving into my home house with him. And she was like, yeah, right, whatever. Like, you're crazy. And I was like, I'm deadly serious. And it was almost like it just struck me. I was like, feng shui, I've got to do the feng shui. So I got all my house set up for love. I did all the things that I remember from love from like behind and researched it, set it all up. And very soon afterwards, I met my now husband, Ken. And the first time I visited his house, I got a tour. He built his house in the countryside and I got a whole tour. And I brought me around and I was like in his like house and in his bedroom. I'm like, he's feng shui'd this place. Like, he has feng shui'd this.
You could tell.
And it turns out that he'd been into feng shui since his 20s. When he had gone on his own personal development journey and realized that like the stuff that we're holding on to can be impacting us. So that really led, like all of that just became this snowball effect of like, okay, everyone then started saying to me, how did you meet Ken? And I was like, well, I did this stuff. I set up my room. I did this. And then I was like, okay, well, if I can do this for love, I can do this for money. I can do it for my career, because that's the best thing about feng shui, is that it actually works on every aspect of your life, not just your like, not just love. It's not this like, oh, it's just that one part. And for me, that's the beauty, because it's making you look at a at your home from a really, and your life from a very holistic perspective. It's not like, I really want all the money, because it's saying, well, what about your family? What about your spiritual development? What about your reputation, how you're seen in the world? So that like all kind of all started unfolding. I started working with clients, diving deeper into feng shui, really practicing, working with different masters around the world. And I started doing all of that. And what happened was, and why I'm in Bali, because people are like, well, how did you end up in Bali? You were in this house in Dublin. And we ended up, like Ken and I just chatting one day, and I was like, oh, I really want to go to back to India. And he was like, me too, but we need longer time for India. And he was an engineer, and so Ken's like used to be like a structural engineer as well, so now he's also a feng shui master,
right?
So I get it from that, like, structural straight lines, like, how does this work? So it's quite a tricky one, a conundrum. But when we were chatting about wanting to move away and everything, I realized that, like, when I left Ireland, the book that before I went to India, the book that kind of like was the trigger was actually the 4-hour work week. And it was about this like freedom business. But what I had actually set up when I went back to Ireland was like a bricks and mortar business. Clients came to see me in person. I sold singing bowls. I sold physical products. Like, I trained people in person. I did live events like gong baths and sound baths. And I went to people's houses to feng shui their houses in person. And I was kind of like, this isn't what I wanted. I set up the wrong business. Like, what am I going to do? So I just decided, like, we were just decided we wanted to go. We wanted to travel. And we're like, well, let's put rent our house and let's go. And we didn't know what we were going to do. We thought we'd be gone for a few months, and that was nearly 4 years ago. And we got to Bali after a short trip to India. We got to Bali, felt really good, took a house without even conversing with each other for 6 months. Like, we just saw this house, we both loved it. Like, kind of, I was like, he likes it, I like it. And the landlord was like, yeah, minimum 6 months. And we thought we were just going to be there for a month, and we both just said okay and took it. And I started doing feng shui online, just working with people, like just like giving tips. And that ended up me creating a program and even like implementing it further. And now we've got hundreds of people all over the world who have feng shui their lives. And it's just been an amazing journey. So I truly believe that when you're on your path, you call in what you're meant to do and the people that you're meant to work with. So, you know, Josh, just because you're like, I'm an engineer and I'm not sure about feng shui, there is a reason that you've got me here, and whoever's listening needs to hear it. And I don't believe in any accidents at all.
Totally. Totally. No, I mean, I have so many questions. Everything, mm-hmm. you know, there's a few things that you said in that description of how you got started that I immediately honed in on and have some pretty interesting questions. But before I get to those, let me just say, like, for instance, Katinka has been watching here, and she says that same situation with her parents, and she could totally relate as far as the burnout. I'm sure a lot of people can actually do that. And it's funny because that sort of pushes you down a path when you're a child, and maybe you don't even realize it at the time, but eventually you're going to round around like you did and come back to it. It seems like, anyway, that's the norm.
Totally. And it's so nuts because, like my second grade teacher, like, put on my report, Patricia does not like being told what to do. Like, yeah. How could I ever have worked in a cubicle from 9 to 5?
Oh, yeah, totally,
like,
totally.
Oh, my God, I'm such a free spirit.
Well, okay. So the first thing that that I really am curious about is that you said that you feng shuied for a specific purpose. It wasn't just to you know, to tap into this energy and have a general flow of things, right? Or mm-hmm. release blockages in any, you know, just general like energy blocks, so to speak. But it was for a specific purpose. So if people are out there listening and they want to essentially get started with trying to understand what feng shui is all about, what is it that you would suggest that they do, right, to start as far as like tapping into that energy that you're talking about?
Yeah. For sure. So for me, like, I like to kind of start you to imagine like your house is like a person, and we talked about it having energy. So like, even if you just like put it under a telescope, like this, the concrete or the wood, it has a vibration and it's moving. So it's all energy, even though it's just a much more solid form of energy. And I like to start thinking it like it's a person. So if you like stand outside your, some houses, you actually can see they nearly have a face, like eyes and ears and a nose, like the mouth of the house is the front door. And we talked about qi. So feng shui for me is acupuncture for your home. So that's why, like, you know, you're like, acupuncture, like, man, like, you know, 10 years ago, everyone's like, acupuncture. Now it's like, have you been seeing your acupuncturist? Like, you know, it's just like so mainstream. And it's the same. It's very similar concepts. It's worked. We work with the five elements. And basically, it's about getting the energy running smoothly around your house and around your body. So when you go to an acupuncturist, she's not going to look at you. She's going to look at you, but she's going to take the pulse. She's not going to kind of judge you from the outside. She's going to find out kind of what's the root cause of stopping the energy not flowing around your house. And that's kind of what I do. I basically like run the numbers and do kind of like a reading of your house. And it's not intuitive. It's actually based on the actual like year your house is built. So it has a date of birth and it's based on where it's sitting. Because in ancient times, like feng shui first came about because they wanted, like the people wanted to bury their family in places that they were like bury their loved ones in places that would be auspicious for them, for, you know, to look after their dead. And then it was like, oh, hang on a minute, we should be looking after where we live for ourselves. So essentially, I always start at your front door because that is where the energy comes in. So whether it's like your apartment front door or where you get on your boat, it's literally where the energy comes in. And I'm honestly, that part can be so crazy because I've done so many consultations like over the world, in person, in real life, online. And I've had instances where like I couldn't open the gate, or I came in, I would like trip over like a hose pipe, or the door would jam. And like that,
like you physically couldn't get in, like
physically couldn't get in, you know, or you're like, where's the doorbell? How do I find the house? You know, so if it's difficult to find, is there a number? Is the knocker? Is there a knocker? The doorbell working? You know, can you actually get it in? And, you know, this also is totally aligned with business as well. So like feng shui is really, really used a lot in business and in corporate environments. They just don't like promote it. You know, as I said to you, Josh, like every Whole Foods in the US has been feng shui.
Yeah,
and I know the feng shui person. So yeah. When you come at the front door, like I would say, try and make sure it's easy to open. Clean your front door. Like make sure it's like this accessible place that feels welcoming and inviting. You know, and that alone is just this intention of like, wow, I'm just changing my connection with my home by literally making sure it comes in. And there's a lot of people who use maybe their garage or they come in a different entrance. They don't use their front door. And for that, if that's the case, it's like, just open it once a day. Just make this routine of like standing outside and looking. Like if you stand outside your house, you may see, and I've done this on so many cases. I stand at a front door and I'm like, oh my God, look at the cobwebs here. Like it doesn't look like anyone lives here. Like there's like a broken pot here or some dead plants or, you know, and it's this not being cared for.
Is it a situation, right, where so let's say that exists. So you go to your front door and you find that the hinges are squeaking and you know, maybe the windows around the door are a little bit dirty. One of them's cracked, right? Are you suggesting that basically you go to the front door, you spend a little bit of time there, almost like a meditative state, right? Yeah. Just try and relax, but then try to see, you know, I don't know how to like how you feel about it essentially, like
yes.
Whether, you know, all of these little things that are causing you anxiety, right? That maybe you just haven't noticed because you've kind of blocked them out or something like that. But now try to pick up on that.
Yeah, totally. And I really am a big fan of like, again, like you just talked about, like the door is squeaking, like your house is crying, like it's literally crying and it's going to create a tension in your body without you knowing. And the thing is, we kind of get past, we don't realize that like if there's these friction points, for example, if it's a struggle to get the energy in, like the door is like really stiff. It's like, are you having struggles in other parts of your life? Like, because it can mirror back to us. Like, so stuff that's kind of going on in our house then mirrors back into our life. So if there's like a bit of tension at the front door, it's like, okay, well, let's see if I could just smooth this and have more smoothness, more flow in my life. And then like when you get into your house, my biggest invitation is to kind of just like step back, just like you said, in a kind of a meditative way, and look at your home from as if it's like a new set of eyes that you have on. And you're like, I just want to see this for the first time. Like, is there like cracks, like even at the door, is there cracks in the door? You know, you see, you go to a restaurant and the toilets are dirty. You automatically think the kitchen's going to be dirty. And it's that whole thing of like, you go and you see something broken or cracked, and then you think, oh, that will subconsciously affect your impression of what's kind of going on in the house. So you move into the house and just move around the place and look at everything and be like, do I love this? Like, does this make me feel really good? So I had this conversation with my mom recently about like, she bought a new little side table, and she just caught me to come to her house, and I was just there, and she's like, look at this side table. I love it so much. It's exactly what I wanted. Like, it is just exactly what I wanted. And I was like, she was like so excited. She's very excitable like me. And I was like, wow, this is so good.
Before you go any further, this is a really good point, actually, because this is something that I've been curious about, you know, ever since we started this conversation. Was it's not, I've always had the impression that Feng Shui was about the positioning of certain elements in your home, but it's not so much. It's everything. It's like, you know, like you said, the, you know, whether the door is squeaking, whether or not there's things are hanging off the hinges, whether or not things are dirty or cracked or clean or, you know, so it's more of a holistic thing. It's not just, hey, I'm going to put my couch here and I'm going to angle it towards the south sort of thing.
Totally. And actually, to be honest, as I said to you before, like, I don't care where your couch is. Like, I actually don't really care about the positioning of like 99% of the furniture in people's houses. And even if you had no furniture in your house, it could still be bad feng shui. And if you had an interior designed amazing house, it could still be bad feng shui. So it's like, it's actually like the furniture and placement is like completely irrelevant really to me. And there's some key things that are important in terms of placement and that. But just in terms of like the excitement with my mom, it's like looking at the things in your house going like, do I love this piece? And she had this like ornament on her side table that she had talked to me earlier about. She said, oh, this friend of mine gave it to me years ago. And I'm like, do you like it? She's like, oh yeah, it's okay. And then she showed me the table. And she was like all giddy. And then I'm like, remember that ornament? You had different like energy about that. And she's like, you're right. I'm going to get rid of that ornament. And she just took it and got rid of it because she was like, I don't feel the same about it. And it's like, not that you have to feel like jump up and down excited about everything, but like, it's more about like looking at things and be like, why do I have this in my home? Yeah. Like, what is it doing here? Because for me, like every single factor, like in your house is like affecting your energy. It's affecting your subconscious. And it's kind of like, I love the idea of like using your home to be a vision board for your future. So like, what's on the walls? Like, what are you affirming about your life? So recently I had a client and we did a walk around her house, and her house actually was bad for money, which is, she wasn't getting any clients. She was in a tough situation. But we got to her office, and when we got into her office, there's this picture of all these boats moored up. So like, when she walked in, the first thing she saw in her office was these boats all moored up. And I'm like, so those boats are going nowhere. They're just like, there's nothing happening. There's no movement. And it really kind of described her in her business at the time. She literally was so stagnant and stuck. And I'm like, that has to get out of your office, and ideally like not somewhere that you are going to see it regularly. So it's like that idea. Or I've had other clients who literally would walk down the end of their hall. I'll never forget this one client. She would walk down the end of her hall and she would see this huge picture of a mountain before she walked into her office. And I'm like, so you have to climb a mountain before you, like, does it feel like an uphill struggle every time you walk into your office, into work? And she's like, oh my God, it totally does. And it's like, these images are like, so like, they're affirming in a negative or positive way. So you could then be like, okay, well, what would I need? Like, would it be easier for it? And my say with the mountain, I was like, let's put the mountain to the side of you, so you feel supported. Right. Yeah. As opposed to in front of you, you know, and that was like, oh my God, yes. Or, you know, all of those little nuggets around art and imagery are so important, and that we just completely underestimate.
Yeah, exactly. It seems to me that not only like what it is, but where it is important. Like you're saying, whether it's in front of you versus to the side. And then also it seems like they trigger all of these little subconscious cues that again, that are happening to you almost without your knowledge. And
unbelievable.
And I would imagine like, you know, one or two of them can have a big effect, but the collective effect of a lot of them in various places. So I can see the need to sort of look at your environment and try and do it with a fresh set of eyes so that you can get a fresh perspective on what it is that you've just been like subjecting yourself to for the last couple of years.
And also, like, I feel like, you know, I have kind of a crazy story about the artwork one. So in my bedroom in Dublin, at the end of our bed, there was this like empty wall, and it happened to be like our love and marriage area as well. So I wanted a picture that like really reminded me of like me and Ken. It was real affirming, like a beautiful picture of a couple. So I found this picture of this couple kissing, and it reminded me of our first date. And I was like, great. And I put it up on the wall. I never really took too much notice of the rest of like, of the actual picture. I was like, yes, like just, I was just drawn to the couple and the image. That's it. Great. Put it up on the wall. And 6 weeks later, a friend of mine came to visit, and she was like, one, I was showing her my new decorated bedroom. I'm like, oh, look at the art. And she's like, oh, wow, look at that. There's Marley. And in the picture, there was a picture of the couple, but the woman in a red coat that was exactly like my own red coat had a little dog on a lead. And within 6 weeks of me putting that picture up and her coming to visit, I had got a dog, a new dog that was identical. Like, I actually have a YouTube video of like, here's the painting that was at the end of my bed for the last 6 weeks. And here is the dog with the curly little black dog with the white tail in the back of it. Like, it is the other, it's like a vision board kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing how much that has an effect. There's a guy, right? For anybody that's listening, this is an interesting conversation, and it has to do with this subconscious effect. That I mean, there's a guy, maybe you've heard of him. He's in the UK. His name's Darren Brown, and he's sort of like a mentalist. He works with a lot of psychologists and has these incredible feats of the power of the subconscious mind. And one of the things that he did was very much like your painting, where he had two independent advertisers come in and they needed to come up with an advertising like campaign, the imagery and stuff like that. And so he told them, he separated them. They were in completely different rooms, and he gave them the same instructions, like, this is the product, et cetera, and said, you have a couple of hours, come up with something, draw it on this big whiteboard. So both of them go and draw these things independently of one another. And then the big reveal is when you go and look to see what they've done, both of them have the exact same elements, right? The exact same pictures. And to top it off, right, Darren had a sealed envelope, which he opened to show that he had predicted exactly what they were going to draw, right? And then, so you ask yourself, well, how in the hell did you do that? And then he explained that the entire day they picked these guys up, and from when they left the hotel all the way driving to the place where they were filming this, they put in those subconscious cues. They put in like a bear and some wings and things like that. They did it in a very systematic way. And that caused these guys, without even knowing, right, to behave in a certain way, in a predictable way. And so it sounds like, you know, this is very similar to what you're talking about.
Yeah. And the irony of this is that we spend, like, now everyone's at home 24 hours. You get to go out like for a small shop to go to the grocery store. Like, what's on your wall?
It's even more important.
Exactly. What's in your bookcases? Like, I remember working with a client and saying, that's a beautiful family photo. Let's move that to your family area, so it like works with the area of your home. And she was like, oh, you know, we had a huge fight before we took that photo. And I was like, that should not be on your wall, because all she sees is the family fighting.
She does not
see everyone. Exactly. You know, exactly. So it same goes for, especially for people who have been in business or are entrepreneurs, is like looking around your house or looking at your library or bookcases. Like, do you have stuff to do with your old careers? You know, I had a Tony Robbins coach, and we were working on feng shuiing her home and her office. And she used to be a cordon bleu chef. In her office, all the books were Cordon Bleu Chef books. And she was like, I just seem to be not be able to get traction in my business. And I'm like, why are all your cookbooks in your office? Like, if you're not going to be cooking with them anymore, like, what's your business? She's like, I'm a coach for Tony Robbins. I'm like, so then we need to get all the Tony Robbins books in here. We need to get all your personal development books. Like, where the hell are all them? And she's like, oh, they're just all everywhere. So it was like reshifting it all around.
Yep.
And then positioning. So for me, there's like two key positions in terms of like, in for, for sleeping and for working. But in the office, we literally just flipped her desk around. Like, she used to sit with her back to the door. I was like, you can't sit with your back to the door because you can't see what's coming. You're not prepared for it. You don't have like the support that you need. Like I talked about the mountain. So I was like, let's like move your desk. We moved her desk around, put her back to the wall. She had a nice desk. She could see the door. Her bookshelves were full of like her personal development books. And she's messaging me like, oh my God, like I cannot believe the shifts that have just happened. And it's just by changing the physical environment of our office.
Well, so, okay. So I would imagine that that's a great segue into the follow-up question. If the simplest thing is to really start to walk around your place, look at it through fresh eyes and start to tap into how you feel in certain key areas. For one, in particular, is the front door, because I feel like that sort of leads everything, you know, that leads off everything. Is it a situation where you would suggest that people maybe do that today and then sleep on it, maybe do it tomorrow? Because I would imagine that people just aren't really used to articulating that feeling. They're not really used to, to feeling that. So it might take a little bit of time for you to sort of identify what the, you know, how you really feel about the color of your front door paint, you know, or something like that. But just do that repetitively for the next couple of days and then write it all down.
Yeah, write it all down. Even just like think about, you know, how do you feel when you're walking up to your front door? Does it make you feel good? Do you get excited? You know, for me, when it comes to feng shui, there's many layers of it. So when I work with clients, we're working on kind of like that deeper level, this invisible energy, just like the acupuncturist. But on the surface, there are so many things that you can do to shift your environment. And by shifting it and moving things and just looking at things, it's going to create a shift in you. So it's like when you start changing your external environment, it starts changing the internal as well. And you start kind of like waking up to things and seeing little gems around your house that you're like, oh, you know, I don't know if I need this here anymore. You know, do I need these? Like, am I holding on to, like, for example, that woman, am I holding on to these cookery books in case this Tony Robbins thing doesn't work out for me? You know, am I holding on to them out of fear, or am I holding on to them for passion of like, yes, I want to have them for reference for cookery. You know, I've had people who have found all of their course notes from their university degree in law because they didn't know whether their food writer, God, I love these cookery people, food writing business is going to take off, you know? And I'm like, you know what? You have to let that go because you need to make space. So when you're doing that process of like looking at things and reevaluating just the kind of the surface of your house and the what you have in your house, just look at them and be like, okay, what do I want to replace this with? And this really comes in hand with my work that I originally started working with, was really helping people get clear on what they want. And the beauty of that is that we now work from, and I work from people in the internal and the external environment, but it's about having a firm foundation. You know, we start at home, you know, like even like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we start with a roof over our head, a shelter. And that has to be the most, that has to be the, like, it can be the most powerful and support for you to co-create your vision for your life. But people don't realize that you can actually tap into that energy. So it supports you even more.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And I resonate a lot, actually, with what you said about the external environment, how dynamic it is, because that creates shifts within you. I mean, I can tell you from personal experience living on the sailboat for the last couple of years that everything is always changing, right? When you live on the water like that, I mean, the water's always moving, the tides are always rising or falling, the weather is always changing, the way that the boat behaves in the water. And that definitely keeps you sharp, you know, in a lot of different ways, because you're constantly having to adapt and you don't let yourself just become desensitized to your environment. Right. And so I can imagine that, you know, I don't have, well, right now is a little bit different story because I'm like here in the Keys, but moving around, even this motorcycle trip, right. Everything's just always dynamic. And that bleeds over to a lot of the things that I do from like a business profession as well, like a business sense.
Oh yeah, so, totally. Yeah.
So this was very interesting. So if you're just joining us, right, you know, we're talking about feng shui. We're talking about how you can start to identify these areas of energy and blockage in your home, but then what to do about it. And I would imagine that the first step, all right, aside from looking at your front door and writing all of this stuff down is just honestly identifying what those areas are and how you feel about them. Because if you don't know, then you'll never be able to change anything. So this was incredibly interesting, Patricia. I want to know how people can connect with you. Let me know what do you got going on in your life right now and how people can find out a little bit more about what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. So I have three ways that people can connect and work with me or connect with me. So you can find me at patricialohan.com or on Instagram at lohanpatricia, where I'm always sharing loads of tips. But at patricialohan.com, I have a few resources for different people in different places. So as I said, the beauty of feng shui is that it works on different aspects. So we can look at money, we can look at health, we can look at your career, or we can look at, you know, just general feng shui stuff. So if you want to look at optimizing your office for feng shui and really making it a more productive and harmonious and creative space to attract more clients and money, I have a guide for feng shui in your office to set you up for success through office. I also have a guide for to help you turn your house into a money magnet. So just those key things that could be actually draining the money out. So if you feel like you have a bit of a leak in your bank account or money dripping away, come to patricialohan.com and you can get either of those guides there. And then that's really where I'm at. And I also have tons of tips and videos on my website that gives you loads of things you can do around your house to get started. It's such a beautiful, powerful process, and every single little shift that you do in your house will make you feel better. And then I kind of help people go dive deeper, you know. So the stuff that you find online or on my website is very much around like the kind of the surface stuff that we can do. But when you dive deeper, it really translates into a beautiful process of support and kind of transformation, really. And I kind of call it like the the secret missing part of like manifesting, because it's like when you have that part in the puzzle, it really all starts to take off, and it's super exciting to watch and to support people. So
You've got hundreds of people that have given you incredible reviews, 5-star reviews. So
I know. Yeah. Like, so like the beauty for me is that like when, and you know, it's this transition that I talked about from working with people in person to working online. And what's evolved is us creating this absolutely phenomenal community of other people doing it. So when originally people would come and work with me one-to-one, but they had no support, they had no kind of other people to say, yeah, go do it. Like take action. Like, you know, we really have this support who have had the results, and they're like, oh, I'm not sure, I'm resistant to doing this thing. But Patricia told me, everyone's like, just do it. This will happen. Just do it. So this has been this huge ripple effect of seeing absolutely phenomenal transformation because of building this community online. So it's just really amazing when we work and for just doing it online. It's amazing because people think, oh, Patricia is better if she comes to my house and sees it. But actually, we have seen better results working with people with our online program and being part of a community and doing it one step at a time. Because like I talked about, like your whole house, like working with your home is a journey. And it's kind of a never ending journey, because your vision for what you're creating and for your life is always changing and evolving, and you have to use your home to support you with that.
Totally. And I can tell you, I mean, Fire Builders, the entire premise is about doing one thing at a time, but just doing it consistently. So I resonate super heavily with that. So Patricia, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Have an amazing day. And if anyone has feng shui questions, don't be afraid to reach out to me.
Reach out. All right. Well, enjoy Bali. Stay safe, stay dry, and to everybody watching, we'll catch you another time on Fire Builders Live. Adios.
Bye.